everybody.
Hi, friends. Well, from blustery, terrifying Salt Lake City, Utah.
It's Thank God I'm Atheist.
The podcast.
I'm Frank Feldman.
And I'm post-apocalyptic Dan Beecher.
I'm just holding on for dear life.
It's scary here in Salt Lake City today. There's a wind storm. There has been a bad weather advisory in effect. And the wind has kicked up all of the dust in the world. And now it looks like a hellscape.
Yeah, it's wild. But anyway, that's fascinating, riveting stuff.
That you can hear more about in the Frank and Dan diary if you want.
Ridiculous. Okay. But today, on today's show, what we're actually going to be talking about, on the second half, we're going to be getting to
is an actual post-apocalyptic hellscape. In the name of Samuel Alito.
Yeah, and his religious bias about religious bias. Yeah. But first we have some news of the week, things that have happened, good news, bad news.
Is there good news?
Mostly sad news, but I'm actually going to start with one that's interesting to me because it's here in Utah.
Okay.
And there was a bill running through the legislature. The session, we can all take a deep breath and relax. The legislative session is done for the year. But there was one that would have banned gay pride flags from public schools and from the classroom, right?
Yeah.
But it also, other things that it would have banned is other sort of, and it was the problem with this, it was pretty vague bill, but other social, political, or religious imagery. It would have banned those things as well from the public schools. So kind of interesting, because if you tell me that religious imagery was going to be banned from the Utah public schools, right?
Yeah,
I would be all over that.
Wouldn't be too mad about it, although the way that the parents would scream, you'd be able to hear it.
Yeah.
In other states.
But nonetheless, they were going after all of those. Sort of in a last minute defeat, the proposal failed on a 39-32 vote, which means there were a lot of, I mean, if the Republicans want it, the Republicans get it. It's the Utah State Legislature. So there were a lot of Republicans who were really uncomfortable with this, along with Democrats.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely it actually means that Republicans voted against it.
Yeah. Oh, totally. The sponsor, the primary sponsor of the bill, Jeff Stenquist. He, of course, is a Republican from Draper, if that means anything to anybody out there. The bill. He says that the bill encouraged. It's not that the bill said this. He was encouraging educators to view the bill as a tool to improve trust in the state's education system. He says, this is a quote, "Unfortunately, there is a perception out there that our students are being pushed toward particular ideologies or religious viewpoints or whatever it might be. And this bill now gives us the ability to say definitively to parents, no, we don't allow that in the state of Utah. Obviously, teachers, this is no longer the quote. Obviously, teachers have to be careful to filter out, you know, personal beliefs. But there are topics that are important to bring up and to challenge in an age-appropriate way, you know, kids and their thinking. Teaching them to think, teaching them to be critical of their...
Oh, no, that's what they don't want.
It's critical.
The
thinking.
Right wing of this country is very against teaching kids to think critically. They do not like it.
Yeah. Of course, teachers were very, very concerned. And the Utah Education Association, the director of which raised concerns that a teacher with a family photo on their desk, one of the few personal displays that would have been allowed under the bill, could still be punished if that image included their same-sex partner or showed their family standing outside of a place of worship. And so it was really problematic.
It doesn't even have to be their same sex partner. You've got a picture of your whole family and like, you know, your brother has a same sex partner or whatever. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Anything that might, well, that just shows it off. Right.
Flaunts it. Just
yeah. Flaunt rams away.
Rams it down our throats.
Ram it down the throats and flaunt it. It's an interesting thing because, you know, this is going to come back, right? This isn't dead. Right. Mr. Stenquist or whatever his name was.
Shitbird, I think.
He'll be back with a revised version, sort of quote unquote better written, right? Yeah. It's more specific about what he's looking to actually ban, but kind of interesting.
Here's what I think. I think that the problem that he described is not untrue. Like there has been an erosion of trust in the education system.
Yeah. Yeah. That's totally, that's
but
totally
the solution
right.
to that is for the people on the right to stop fucking lying all the time about what's going on.
Yeah.
And yeah. stop fear-mongering and stop hate-mongering and stuff. Like, that's the solution to the problem. The solution is not, like, what do we ban and what don't we ban? That's not how you do the solution. The way you do the solution is stop fucking terrorizing the populace.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, for at least the next year, Utah teachers will be free to display pride flags and other
statues
imagery.
Of Jesus and who knows what all.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a fucking free for all, sounds like.
And I want it to be. I want Satan up there. I want go crazy. All right. I'm going to take us to Spain. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a country.
Hmm.
Over across the ocean.
Yeah, they have tapas.
They do have tapas.
That's what I both know and love about Spain.
Yeah.
Tapas.
Nothing wrong with a tapa. That's a good time.
Yeah.
Order a drink, get a snack. Yes, please.
Woo-hoo!
When will the rest of the world catch on? That's all I'm saying. anyway, in that there Spain, apparently there's a YouTube show called, I assume this is translated, and I don't know who translated it, but they call it the Sacristy of the Vendée, a counter-revolutionary priestly gathering.
Okay, sure.
And by the way, in case you missed it, the concept of counter-revolutionary is always I want to go back to the bad old ways. That is what that always means.
Always?
Well, maybe not always, but like, yeah, in this case, well, I'll let you decide. Somebody on the show made a joke, and the joke was, I also pray a lot for the Pope so that he can go to heaven as soon as possible.
Oh.
Yeah, got a little dark.
That's
got a little dark.
Wow.
Yeah.
So not fans of the Pope.
No.
Well,
he's more, I mean, only barely, but he's more in that revolutionary than counter-revolutionary sort of place. Like, these guys, look, all these guys want to do is relax and protect pedophiles and
eat their tapas.
Eat their tapas and hate gays the way they've always done, the way they were promised they would get to when they went to seminary. And then everybody's trying to make them like the gays and probably not eat tapas. I don't know. It's mass hysteria. So this did not escape the notice of some people who might not want the Pope to die as soon as possible. And that caught the attention of the bishop. And so the Archbishop archdiocese put out a tweet on Twitter that said, basically, or rather the sacristy of the Vendée group, put out a tweet that said, "We are sorry for the unfortunate comment said in a humorous tone about praying for the Pope to go to heaven as soon as it is possible. It is a comment in bad taste, and although it does not express wishes for the death of a Pope," yes, it does, "as some media have maliciously spread, we understand that it can be understood that way." Bullshit! They should own it, you fucking... Like, you're saying it out loud. You might as well just own, "Hey, we said a thing we really shouldn't have said.
We didn't say we wanted him to go to hell."
Right.
That's the defense. "Hey, we want him to go to heaven."
Yeah. But we do want him to stop poping.
Yeah.
Anytime now.
As soon as possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yes, the bishop was mad. They got a little slappy on the wrist. And so I don't know. It's just funny when all these priests are so angry at this Pope who has done almost nothing to change anything, but has certainly talked about it.
He's kind of been nice.
He's hinted at being nice. He's definitely
he's nice, like, in words.
He's definitely nodded in nice directions
and in sort of personal gestures.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like changing the church, you know.
Now wait a minute. He has convened a whole synod to talk about changing things. So, man, the talk thing, he's really got
down.
He's
good. He's really good at it. He's really, really, really good. All right. Well, Dan.
Yes.
There's a country in this world that, I think here in America, we always have sort of, at least at certain levels, our government has some issues with Iran.
Azerbaijan.
No, it's Iran.
Oh, yes. We have tangled with them from time to time.
And it's a theocratic dictatorship. So it's kind of a messy little country.
It seems to be the current model by that the GOP is working toward.
Right. This is a country that's got some questionable stances on certain things, specifically forcing women to wear hijabs in public. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, no attempts at secularism.
No. Doing our show is very likely punishable by death.
Yeah. There's certainly
imprisonment.
And there are a lot of things that can get your head chopped off. And yeah, you're right. Us, me specifically.
Like, oh yeah, yeah. You're double trouble.
I'm not going to Iran anytime soon. but it's easy to just sort of paint a country with broad strokes and assume that the people must be fucked up too, which of course, you know, would not be a good thing to do, because, and this is amazing, recent polling by the Iranian government itself is showing that 3/4 of Iranians want a secular government instead of their current system.
Iranians, stop answering their questions honestly. You're going to die.
Apparently, it is this poll happens every so often. And I think this was, it said it was, this is the fourth time the government has run this poll. And they say that it is anonymous. Somehow it's now happened a number of times. And so they clearly are somehow they just want to check in. Right. And so they asked questions specifically. The whole attitudes toward having a secular government, That's up from 31% of the country that wanted a secular government in 2015. That was the last time the poll was done. Up to 73% now.
That's incredible.
They polled almost 16,000 Iranians of voting age across 31 provinces. And they found out other things like only 7.9% of the respondents said that they agree women must be made to wear a hijab. That's down from 18.6% in 2015. Wow. Let's see, the number of people actively objecting to the imposition of the mandatory hijab increased from 15.7% to 34.4%. And while 38% said they are not against people who break the hijab laws, and that's up from 10.6%. So, and then let's see, there was another interesting number. I guess it was mainly about hijab wearing and
secular government.
And secular government. At least that's what's being covered in this this article.
I mean, I'm surprised. I will say, like, I joke about it, but I'm surprised they got that much honest feedback. Because if I'm in Iran and I say, yes, I think we should have a more secular government, I'm waiting for the doorbell to ring and for, like, I go to jail now.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the methodology here is and how they've built the trust with the respondents in order to get them to respond honestly. But I mean, these are significant numbers, and
they might at this moment in history have a more liberal populace than we do. I'm not sure about it.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, Iran before the revolution, right? It was a wildly open society, right? Like, it was I mean, the Shah was a piece of shit, but the system, the society was allowed for people to be very sort of Western, right, for lack of a better word, in sort of their approach to how they dressed and education. Women in not only in education, but
business
and in the professions, right? Like, it was a rapidly liberalizing society. And well, they had a huge pushback, obviously.
Well, thank God they put a stop to it is what.
No, it was like I watched a documentary not too long ago about the fall of the Shah and all that stuff. Yeah. And it was a wild, wild, wild shift for a society to make. Right.
Yeah.
And, I just really hope for them. I hope that they are able to get some reform.
Yeah. We've given up on our country, but maybe Iran has some hope.
I just hope the timing is good, that they get it all worked out, because we're going to need places to go, Dan. Like,
I don't think it's Iran. There are
places in the, like, if they get their shit together, there's going to be a lot of Americans that are just like, get me the fuck out of this hellhole.
Yeah.
I want to go live in that hellhole.
I don't think Iran's the place, but maybe.
You don't know. I don't know. In 5 years, Dan, maybe.
I've had Persian food. It's okay.
It's
pretty good.
Yeah. I've known some Iranians in my life, and they were delightful, wonderful people. So
indeed. Indeed. They weren't there. They were here. But, you know, who knows? Okay. I'm going to take us to another scary, repressive regime. Florida. Which I think is like basically Iran, but nobody's noticed yet.
I'd rather go to Iran.
Right. It's Iran, but with Disney.
Well, maybe that'll be the thing. There'll be like Disneyland Tehran.
That'll be
the next big thing.
They'll call it. Yeah, I don't know. Anywho, in Florida, they've just unanimously passed a bill, which makes me very suspicious.
Uh-oh.
That it means nothing. You know what I mean? Like, if that happens in this climate, like, it's a meaningless bill. But it doesn't seem like it's a meaningless bill. It seems a little necessary. But it's a weird thing. It's part of a trend that's happening all over the country.
Oh.
So there's several states that have tried to pass bills basically defining anti-Semitism.
Oh.
Now, my suspicion...
Huh.
Here's the thing. I don't actually know how to read the context of this bill.
Okay.
I do know that there are a lot of Jewish voters in Florida.
Yeah.
So they can't piss off that group much. And I also know that anti-Semitism, especially since the October attacks on Gaza, has gone up.
Oh, yeah.
Anti-Semitism has gone up significantly.
Yeah.
But also, you gotta have room to actually criticize the state of Israel, because Israel's government is monsters, and they are acting like monsters, and they are genocidal. So you gotta find a way to be able to parse out whether criticism of the Israeli government has tipped over into anti-Semitism.
Hmm.
Now, it makes me scared a little bit when governments try to define things. That's a little bit spooky sometimes. But yeah, what they've done is they've taken on the wording from from the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. That is a group that sounds very, you know, pro-Jewish and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And good. Like, it sounds like a good... The name makes me think it's a good group to take your definition from.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I want to hear your response to this definition of anti-Semitism.
Okay.
Which is a certain perception of Jewish individuals which may be expressed as hatred towards such individuals. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed toward Jewish and non-Jewish individuals and their property, and toward Jewish community institutions and religious facilities.
Okay.
I guess, like,
they're definitely not saying governments, and they're just talking about the people and the property.
Yeah. I mean,
religious buildings.
Right.
The
question here, the problematic question that everyone kind of has to face in this is that, you know, it's not illegal to say it's not illegal to hate Jews. It's not illegal to say you hate Jews. It's bad, and I don't like it, but, like, it's not illegal. So, like, so the question has always been, where does free speech stop and incitement to violence begin, or incitement to hatred or whatever? Mm-hmm. And where do we draw those legal lines? Do I trust Florida of all places to draw that line? Well, no.
Well,
but like we said, like, there's a lot of voters, of Jewish voters there. So maybe they'll actually do a good job on that one item.
I mean, that's their definition of anti-Semitism. I mean, there's no teeth to this. They're not outlawing it.
Well,
right?
Except that they do have hate crime laws.
Right.
So this is a guideline for the adjudication of what is and isn't a hate crime.
Right. So you already have to have committed a crime.
Yes.
And then is it going to receive, are the charges going to be sort of boosted to the level of hate crime? Right.
Right.
Is usually what happens, right? Like, it jumps a class.
I think that's right. Yeah.
And so, like, they're already, somebody already has to have, you know, vandalized or or whatnot for this specific thing to sort of get triggered. I mean, yeah, I think it's probably really good to define what anti-Semitism is.
Right? Yeah.
In this climate where it has gotten incredibly tricky to talk about certain things.
especially right? like geopolitical, really there's like this one part of the sort of geopolitical world that has an extra like scary added element to it.
Yeah.
No one's afraid of being accused of being like anti-Russia and, you know, or anti-Russian Orthodox Church because they said that Russia shouldn't invade the Ukraine.
Right.
Yeah, the Ukraine. That's funny.
Mm.
I haven't called it the Ukraine for a long time. Anyway.
Nor has anyone else.
No.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, I, you know, in a way, like, it seems like a really important thing to try to do.
Yeah.
At right now. Also, just like, you know, like, with the criticism of the Israeli government that's happening right now, right? Mm. Which is obviously very needed. I can imagine being an American Jew and being very disoriented and very uncomfortable with the climate, right?
Yeah, and unsure of what. Like, you hear a criticism of Israel come out of someone's mouth, you don't know where it's going.
Well, and you don't know the person's motivations,
right?
Of that criticism. Are they gleefully criticizing Israel? Right.
Ironically, it's the Christians who are defending Israel that the Jews most have to worry about in this country. I think that's true.
Elaborate just a little bit.
I think because, look, the Christians for the longest time, especially evangelicals, have had this love-hate relationship with Judaism, mm-hmm. where the hate is actually the strongest thing towards Jews and Judaism. But they have this sense that when Jesus comes back, all the Jews in Israel are going to convert to Christianity and give it to them. Give Israel to the Christians, so because it's Jesus is here, and that obviously means that he's the Messiah, and then the Christians will get it because Jesus is supposed to come back in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, blah blah blah.
Right.
So literally, their whole reason for liking Israel is that they think they're going to get it. They think it's going to be theirs. And they want it to stay nice until it's theirs. And right. So they play nice with Israel, like way too nice, like absurdly nice. They'll condone any action by Netanyahu or whatever and be so against anyone who's against, you know, who's against the war. Also, they really, really, really hate Muslims. So the Palestinians are like their least favorite people in the world. But like... They're still anti-Semitic,
mm-hmm.
even though they are pro-Israel. They're still very anti-Semitic,
mm-hmm.
whereas many people, myself included, are very much like horrified by the Israeli government and I say it's a genocide that they're committing, but I don't believe that I'm remotely anti-Semitic. So, who knows?
I mean, it's good it's that tricky. You. It's good that you believe that, Dan.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There are those who would disagree with that. With that point. Yeah. So there you go.
All right.
I did like this one quote that I wanted to give from a Democratic state senator in Florida, just because I find it very weird. Her name is Lori Berman, and she said, "Outbreaks of anti-Semitism can be a harbinger of deep societal trouble and reflect that extremism and violence are imminent. It is dangerous. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of felt like it was like, it's like it almost was saying the anti-Semitism alone isn't enough. It's a harbinger of something worse to come. And I'm just like, no, you can just be against the anti-Semitism, period.
You,
it doesn't have to harbinger anything. It's bad all by its little self.
You don't need Hitler for it to be bad.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Dan, moving along.
Yeah.
You're done there, right?
Oh, I'm done. The emails that are about to come are, yeah. I'm looking forward to them. They're going to be fun.
All right. Well, up in Canada, there's that, rogue province of Quebec. Quebec.
It is a beautiful province that I've really enjoyed visiting a few times.
I want to go to Quebec. I've only heard wonderful things. They have a law that we've talked about before. It's known as Bill 21, sort of local speak, right? Like if you're going to reference Bill 21, everybody knows what you're talking about, apparently.
Oh, okay.
And this is a secularism law. Okay. And like I said, we have talked about it. It's the one where it prohibits public sector workers in positions of authority from wearing religious symbols on the job. And this, so this would be teachers, judges, police officers, anybody kind of like that. Somebody who has authority over other people.
I mean, my memory is that it even includes people like, you know, clerks at, you know, at places
at the DMV.
Yeah.
Because that would make sense.
In a position of, not necessarily authority, but you know, your fate can rest in their hands sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, how broadly that's defined, we're not totally up on, but,
right.
But yeah, that would make sense.
We're not Canadian legal scholars, you guys.
No, not at all. In fact, this took some navigating. so there was in Montreal, there's an English school board, English language school board for, I guess, the English language schools in Montreal.
They allow that?
I guess so. I find it interesting that it is a separate school board.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
separate but equal.
I'm sure. That was challenging these rules for their teachers.
Yeah.
And it went to the highest court in the province, which upheld the law just this last week. But I think it's always a really interesting topic to bring up, especially in light of my first story of here in Utah and how we're handling sort of just symbolism in general in the classroom, right?
Mm.
And that currently in a very conservative state, we're allowing these displays, right?
Right.
And in Quebec, which my understanding is it's much more liberal, they and obviously secularism is very, very, very important. They don't even want the teachers to potentially be wearing a cross or a hijab or whatever. And
the thing that makes me really uncomfortable about this is that it puts me in the position of being less into secularism than they are. Like I'm more conservative than that in the sense that like it feels like Christians should be able to wear a cross if they want to.
I know. Well, and I think the where I've sort of landed on this in the past is if I'm at the DMV and the person helping me out is wearing a hijab and I don't know, like I'm wearing a pride flag on my shirt or something.
Mm-hmm.
Not something I really go around doing, but let's just say for this hypothetical, and I'm being treated poorly. I'm being given the runaround. I'm being forced to fill out forms that I've never had to fill out before. Right. Like without actually having her in a hijab, I'm just like, what the fuck is going on at the DMV today? Right.
Right.
But then, you know, like I see the Christian cross or I see a hijab and I'm like, oh, I know what's up. I know what's going on here, even if it's not that. Right.
Yeah.
But
I see you, Kim Davis.
Right. Exactly. And it's like, I'd rather just be out in the fucking open at a certain point.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'd rather just know who I'm dealing with. Like, totally. Oh, you are so religiously crazy that you are willing to like wear this whatever. Right.
Right.
I kind of feel like I need to know that, but I will say this. I think the classroom is the one space where I'm kind of like, maybe we need some rules.
Mm.
We need some limitation. Like, we're talking about kids. It's public school. There should be, they're there to learn, right?
Are they?
They are there. Well, and to be socialized. Yeah. To have their spirits broken. They're there to have their spirits broken, Dan.
Right. That's what they're there for. Thank you. I just feel like I do feel like the, for me, the thing of it, I feel like, in an ideal world, we would embrace the multiculturalism of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
We would say, I want my kids to learn about all of these different groups. I want them to understand that they live in a pluralistic society, mm-hmm. where lots of people believe different things, and mm-hmm. that's a good thing, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
If it didn't mean like, the problem is that a lot of these symbols mean, oh, this person hates my mommy.
Right.
Or, oh, this person hates my group.
Right.
And that's going to make kids feel unsafe because they probably are.
But let's back up just a little bit. Like, but what if that person is totally committed to like fairness and education and not mm-hmm. like, and to be honest, like, they're a public school teacher. Like, I hope there's some interest that they had in just, you know, going and teaching all the kids that could potentially come into their classroom, right?
You would hope. One would hope.
Like, I mean, so why not let their actions be, and I'm kind of contradicting what I was just saying, but I guess to play devil's advocate, but why not let their actions be what informs, right? The situation, like, right, because like
don't maybe, make it a problem until it's a problem.
Yeah, don't judge a book by its cover as well, right? Like, yeah. Like, just because the woman with the wearing the hijab is wearing a hijab doesn't mean that she's a homophobe,
right?
Right, like it just doesn't mean that, right?
It only
but I do make that assumption. I do make that assumption, right? And there are any number of weird assumptions I might
but
make
that's,
based on somebody's point, religious garb, right?
I think the point that I'm trying to make is that the reason that you make that assumption is that you need to be safe.
Yeah.
And until those symbols don't mean you're potentially unsafe because, you know, they hate gay people,
mm-hmm.
I think we got to, like, I think especially if you're a public worker, yeah, it makes sense to say, no, let's not even fuck around with that shit.
Yeah. But then, like, you're also creating a scenario where there is some sort of exclusion of certain people from certain fields.
Yeah.
Right.
And I have a problem with that.
Right, but so what if it's this person that I've just described, right?
Like, I know.
This woman who is committed to wearing a hijab, but she's moderate or maybe even liberal in a lot of her, you know, social worldviews. She's not a typical Muslim, but she feels the importance of wearing a hijab for whatever reason. And like, this rule would in effect, it's excluding her from being able to have this job.
Agreed. I think it's all problematic. Yeah. I don't think there's any easy answer in any of this.
Yeah.
So fun. Thanks for bringing it up.
Sorry, I think it's a worthwhile topic that comes up, and thanks to they didn't call it the Supreme Court, but whatever it is in Quebec, they upheld it. Yeah. They are fucking committed to this, like, very, very strict idea of what secularism is. Yeah. And it's not that I think it's inherently bad or anything. I wrestle with it, though.
You can hear us. Yeah. You and I we're literally, like, we might as well have unitards on because we wrestling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Get your onesie out.
That'd be a sight.
We both look great in onesies, just so that you guys know. All right. Well, I'm gonna move on. We'll close it up with just some insane stuff that's happening in West Virginia. We have, you know, here's the thing. It's the right is the way that they've been pushing things like the abortion thing. It was just a wedge issue. It's a political tool. Before the 70s or before the 80s, the evangelicals, nobody cared about abortion except the Catholics. Like, it was kind of just this non-issue, and then they turned it into a wedge issue and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And now it's gotten out of control. Yeah. Like, they basically won. They packed the courts. They won in the Supreme Court. But they need their wedge issue.
All right.
Keep winning. And it's so we had the thing in Alabama where, you know, now in vitro fertilization is effectively outlawed because they're crazy, which is pissing off plenty of Christians who want IVF all this stuff. And now now in West Virginia, they've proposed a bill which is to be known and cited as the Baby Olivia Act.
Okay.
Which, among other things,
I'm bracing myself,
requires students to watch a video produced by some anti-abortion bullshit group called what? Live Action, I think. It's of course all of the worst, like, misinformation and half truths that the right has developed. All of them are in this one video. That's, you know, it talks about does things like talk about the there's a fetal heartbeat at 6 weeks.
Oh no.
Which is that's tricky because there's no heart, but, you know, there's a beat. So there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, it's all of this bullshit. And then,
so this is just to teach them that abortion is wrong? Is that what?
It's to teach them that fetuses, which, by the way, yeah, at 6 weeks, they're not even fetuses yet.
Right, right, right. Massive cells.
It's to teach them that these blobs of cells are babies, are human lives, and whatever.
So it's not like it's not like an abstinence only thing. It's not part of that kind of thing.
Like, no, I guess not.
I'm just trying to wrap my head of like, I guess, did I miss the context in which this is supposed to be happening?
No, it's just to get the kids to not have abortions, even when they need them. anywho, it's to make them watch a bad movie. I frankly got to think that, you know, the sponsors of this bill are getting, you know, campaign donations from Live Action, because, you know, this is like it's not that they have to watch some sort of media that has X, Y, and Z thing in it so that they learn about. But here's the other thing. This lawmaker that introduced it during a debate on the House floor, or on the Senate floor, woo, he got into some stuff.
Okay.
He said that evolution is a quickly dying theory.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but sure. before you know it, guys, none of us are going to believe in that nonsense anymore.
It's just dying so quickly. I mean,
yeah,
we're all coming to our senses.
He repeated a thing that's been making the rounds. I don't know if you've heard this. Have you heard about the flash of light at the moment that a sperm meets the egg? There's a flash of light, Frank.
Oh no!
Or rather, there was a flash of light in. Basically, this experiment that some scientists did, where they were looking for, I think, was like there's a release of, I think it's zinc or something.
Okay.
When an egg gets fertilized, and so some scientists, in order to be able to sort of catch that moment, marked the zinc with another thing that would flash light. So there's not a flash of light unless you actually do the thing that these scientists did.
Oh, but Dan, I mean, it's a beautiful idea.
Yeah.
I can see why it's caught on.
Yeah, exactly. and they're using that to prove that, you know, that's when God puts the soul in or something. Oh. That's when the shit hits the fan.
Yeah. You know, like this
Jesus wise.
This whole like life thing is like they love it so much. How could they possibly be against like you know, these young kids having sex, right? These teenagers. Like they should be promoting it because it's like teaching abstinence only. That's kind of where my mind was a minute ago. I don't know why it went over there, but like these are the same folks who would teach abstinence only, right? But it's like, that seems like that's just like pre-abortion, right? Like if you're telling kids not to have sex, aren't you just pre-aborting a bunch of babies?
Don't put that in their minds. Look, they don't need to be any.
The unintended how far is this going to go? Is it going to go to the, yeah, oh no, that would be pre-abortion.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was
I kind of like that idea. Like, we should see if we can get some state senators or legislators confused enough that they start advocating for premarital sex, advocating for like teenage sex.
Yeah, because we need more babies. It's beautiful.
Listen,
did you
have a fertility possibility, you should be trying to make them babies.
Because it feels like it's all just preventing babies and preventing this beautiful flash of light that we just learned about.
Yeah.
Like look, you're right. If you're fertile, if you're viable as a baby carrier, right?
Yeah.
Or as an inseminator. You should be doing both those things.
You have to start having sex right now. Go. On your mark, get set, go.
I mean, listen, if they're going to be consistent.
If God didn't want babies in there, he wouldn't put them in.
He's the one doing the flash of light.
It's his thing.
It's his fault.
Look, if they have sex and no baby goes in, then we know that there wasn't supposed to be a flash of light and we're fine.
Right. But what asshole making these flashes of light happen, just knowing that they're going to be aborted.
Oh, he also, when someone pointed out that Jewish people do not believe the same thing about abortion.
First breath or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are different schools of thought, but it's generally thought that, life begins at the first breath, or at least that is a viable school of thought within Judaism.
Right.
To which he responded, first of all, it's essentially an absurdity that all Jewish people believe that lifehood, for lack of a better term, and yes, you really do need a better term than lifehood, begins at another time other than conception. Any Jew who believes the first five books of the Bible would, by definition, believe that life begins at conception. Because Genesis 4:1, for example, says, And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived.
Wow. Okay.
How does that prove anything? He sounds really confident that he knows what Jews want, really. He knows Jews better than they know themselves.
His confidence is selling it, you know.
I feel like the Jewish community, the Jewish people of our country should listen to him.
He clearly knows more than they do.
Your rabbi may have something different to say, but does your rabbi really know more about your Judaism?
I've got this West Virginia legislator.
Yeah.
He needs to talk to you.
Listen, go talk to State Senator Mike Azinger, and you then come back to me and tell me you still believe that life doesn't begin at conception, because he has this whole thing about Genesis that's going to blow your mind.
Well, all right.
All right, friends. Well, if you have something to say about this or any of our stories this week, you can always write into us or call into us. The email address is podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or you could give us a call. We'd love to hear your voice. The telephone number is 424-666-8442. Stick around. There's more show coming up.
Well, Frank, some wonderful things have been said over the pulpits here in these United States.
Beautiful things.
Just
if it came over the pulpit, it has to be just a beautiful message from God.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see why not. Here's a pastor. He kind of made a big splash. Boy, the Twitterverse loves this guy. I don't even know who he is. I thought I had it looked up, but I don't. Anyway, it looks like he's got a pretty big church, judging by the video of him. And he has this to say. Look, he had to go to the mall, and he was worried about what he was going to see when he got there.
Oh no!
Let's have a listen.
You find more women going those places with shorts than you will women with pants and dresses put together. Try it. If you got time, try it. Have your boy go up there and try it. Just watch for him. Have your girl go up there and watch for it. And you know, I used to say this. Now, I haven't said this in a long time. You ready? I said, if you dress like that and you get raped and I'm on the jury, he's going to go free. Now, you don't like, do you? I'm right, though. I can't help you don't like it. I'm right. Because, you know, a man's a man.
A man's a man, Frank.
I mean, we've heard that sentiment before, definitely.
I love that he was like, I haven't said this for a while. Oh, now I remember why I haven't said it. My whole congregation is really mad at me all of a sudden.
It is wild how much, like, he's saying it, but it's wild how much this is actually a prevalent thought in some version of this, right? Maybe not so wretched and really ugly, right? Sentiment.
Yeah.
But the idea that it's the woman who should be covering herself up. Right.
Right.
Marjorie Taylor Greene actually said something this last week that was really similar. Right.
Yeah.
But
usually what you hear is in the context of like, well, she should protect herself better by not provoking it or whatever.
Right.
You generally don't hear, I mean, it's not even rape unless if she's wearing that. Like,
right.
Like, usually it's like she should have protected herself from rape by blah blah blah,
right.
But it's still rape, and that rape is still bad. But like, you don't every day get a guy who's like, I'd vote to acquit,
right.
I say he gets away with it. Men are men. I don't know if you know this, but we're just rapers.
Yeah, it's wild. It's disgusting. It doesn't even see women as being full humans, right? Like that worldview.
It doesn't see men as being full humans.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
It's like, I can't imagine telling on myself this much. The idea, like, if that's how low an opinion you have of men, that, you know, a man catches a flash of shoulder and a bit of knee and suddenly he's in a raping frenzy. Are you serious right now?
Well, he might be talking about himself a little.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, what are we to believe about you?
Yeah.
Pastor.
He has some thoughts. I mean, he's a rapist, right? Isn't that what he's saying?
I mean, if he sees someone in the right outfit, apparently.
I would ask, who has he raped?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty dark and ugly to say as well. But like this sentiment is coming. It is so ugly.
He all but admitted
it. And he's it's nasty. Yeah, and to be like, yeah, I'm a pastor. I lead people. I'm how can this man continue even in this role? Right.
I want to be at that church the next week, because the next week he's going to look out and be like, hey, why is everybody old? why is it only old people here? What happened?
Oh, golly.
Okay. Well, we had some folks write into us, and we got some people to thank. Let's dive into that. Timothy wrote in to say, I am an atheist. Well, that's good. It would be weird. I mean, actually, it's nice. Every now and then we get somebody telling us that they listen to the show and they're not an atheist. I think that's kind of fun. But yes, you are in good company, Timothy. Anyway, I'm an atheist. I've been an atheist for about 35 years. I collect tarot cards. Remember that Kate and I talked about tarot cards and stuff.
Yeah.
I probably have 25 or 30 decks. I used to do readings for friends just as fun, but I stopped because even if I explained to them the concept of archetypes and how the images on the cards are meant to evoke certain universal ideas that appeal to everyone's sense of what's going on in their lives, people still challenged me on whether there was something supernatural going on.
Oh, Jesus.
So now I collect them and I enjoy them for their beauty or because they have some particular connection to an artist or an intellectual property that I'm interested in. But I don't do readings anymore. I did readings, I used a mixture of cold reading and hot reading, just like you were describing. But a really well illustrated tarot deck will do most of the work for you. My favorite deck is Edward Gorey's Fantod deck. It's not strictly a tarot deck because it doesn't have the correct number of cards. I also have a deck of Romani fortune telling cards.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, and Timothy also collects Ouija boards and has one that glows in the dark. That's fun.
Ooh, that's how you know it's working.
Right. Or here's the thing. If it stopped glowing in the dark, that would be how you know it's actually working. That would be very spooky. You got a glow-in-the-dark thing, and then suddenly it goes out.
Suddenly?
Yeah.
Oh, spooky.
Oh, that's copyrighted. That goes in our movie. That's not for you guys. All right. Robert also wrote into us. So during the part where Kate talked about the animated Bible last week, when Dan mentioned nobody probably ever read the Bible cover to cover. Yeah, I suggested that that's a terrible thing to do and too boring to actually accomplish in any for 99% of people. Anyway,
sure.
It came up that I probably had never even read a passage. This is Robert saying. Came up that I probably never even read a passage, even though I do own a Bible because I needed it for theology class in high school. My girlfriend mentioned that was also the only reason she ever owned a Bible. We then recalled we both have the version that's printed on rice paper, so it's not so thick. Then she went on to recall that a classmate of hers used it to roll joints, as you couldn't easily find rolling paper in Bolivia. So. That's awesome. We figured out a good use for the book, and we figured you would appreciate it.
That's great.
Yeah, Listen, you're not the first people to figure that one out. A lot of Bibles have been ingested through smoke rather than reading.
It's pretty toxic stuff, though, so you should be...
Yeah, we should all be... Look, if you're into weed, vaporize. Your weed will go a lot further, and it's probably much easier on your lungs, I think, probably. Yeah. Don't put smoke in your body if you can avoid it.
Well, I just meant the sentiment.
Oh, well, oh yeah, sure.
You don't want to inhale that stuff. That's exactly. That's bad for you.
Well, or you know, pick and choose which pages to pull out. Maybe
the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, lovely. You'll have a lovely afternoon.
Well, here's the question: do you want to smoke the bad parts, or do you and leave the good parts in the Bible, or do you want to smoke the good parts as though it somehow then osmoses into your body? Mm-hmm. I'm in the first category. I say you pull out the bullshit, and it goes up in flames.
There you go.
And then you leave the anything nice you might find. Good luck with that. All right. Well, we have some folks to thank. I'm going to start us off by thanking Monty, who is now a subscriber over on PayPal. And Monty, thank you so much. You are now you're a teacher in the TGIA priesthood.
Woo-hoo!
Magic powers abound. Well done.
Right.
I can't remember what teachers actually do in the Mormon church. Do they?
They really... set up the sacrament.
It's the worst of all of the jobs.
It's the one you show up, you get it done, and you're done. You don't have to. All you have to do, you just have to be on time to church.
If you're hungry, you can sneak a slice of bread for yourself.
Oh, totally. Eat one of the heels.
Yeah, man. Yeah. No, but we really appreciate you. That's awesome. And then, do you have somebody to thank?
Yeah, we do indeed, Dan. We also have a new teacher, a former deacon who upped their support of the show.
Hey, did you guys know that you can do that?
Yeah.
Even if you're already a patron, you can be more of one.
You can progress in the priesthood.
In the priesthood, that's
which
right.
Which is you don't want to you want to climb your way up the ladder, right?
Listen, in this economy, we get it. A lot of people have had to downgrade their priesthood, and that's totally fine. But for those of you who can afford it, upgrading is a nice, you know, we need people to compensate for the downgraders.
Damn. But this kind person, Navy Dave is our new teacher.
And congratulations.
We also have a new prophet, seer, and revelator.
Whoa!
Boschvark.
Say it again. What?
Boschvark?
I like it. I don't know what it means, but I like it.
Yeah, so thank you. You can see things now. Congratulations. And if you'd like to join these wonderful people, you can and support the show, you can do so by going to our website, thankgodimatheist.com, and clicking on the support tab. And as always, we have our top donor to thank, our Lord and Savior, Davis.
More show coming up. Hey, Frank.
Dan.
You know who's a shitbag?
Let me see. Sam Alito.
Samuel, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Shitbag Alito. What a dirt farm he is.
He's so bad. I like he's so bad.
He's just so bad. He wasn't even like he wasn't even one of the Federalist Society shitbirds that Trump put in. He's an old school dirt bag. Yeah. Anywho, the latest out of Sam Alito actually comes from a case that the court didn't pick up. The Supreme Court opted out of taking up this case. But, Alito could not help himself. He needed to write up a ruling just for him.
He had something to say. Yeah.
If he was in charge, he would do things differently.
Dan, don't even. Don't even put that him in charge.
Yeah. Pity the parallel universe where Sam Alito is in charge.
It somehow rises to king of the planet.
Yeah. The thing that got his ire, that caught his attention, was a case where the Department of Corrections of Missouri was accused of discriminating against a lesbian. And the lesbian sued, and basically, so in the process of this case, one of the things you got to do is pick a jury. And one of the things you got to make sure of when you're picking a jury is that the jury is not inherently biased against against one side or the other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, this is a standard part of picking a jury. They call it voir dire. And it is very important to exclude someone, for instance, if the case involves a cop, you want to exclude someone who is inherently over trusting of cops or inherently hating cops.
Oh, like, yeah. Okay.
That's important. Or if you have someone, if one side or the other is a Jewish person, then you want to exclude anyone who is deeply anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. Because the idea is to give people a fair trial, or come as closely as we can get, which often isn't very close. So during voir dire, they asked the potential jurors about their religions and about their religious beliefs as they pertain to homosexuality, which, if you're talking about people in Missouri, sounds pretty fucking pertinent to me. I mean, it just seems like the most obvious thing you can possibly think of.
Wow, your opinion of Missouri.
Oh, I only in the sense that Missouri is contained within these United States and isn't, one of the wild, it ain't Seattle or right. whatever.
But it sounds like things kind of worked in Missouri.
Yes.
In this whole
thing. In the sense that they managed to exclude a couple of jurors who mm-hmm. literally basically said they were prejudiced against gay people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the jury that was hired for the job, hired is the wrong word, chosen, selected, they went on to
imposed find, upon.
Yeah, exactly. They went on to find for this lesbian.
Huh.
That's all great. But the district attorney or the whoever it is.
I think it was the attorney general, wasn't it?
Attorney general. Whatever it is. I get those two mixed up all the time. I never know which one's which. Anyway, the something attorney something appealed because they thought that it was not okay. It was prejudiced to ask about these potential jurors' religion. Anyway, that's the background. And then, the appeals court said, no, this is a good decision. Mm. And also, you didn't object to this line of questioning as it was happening.
Oh, that, yeah. Okay.
And that's a procedural issue. That's your fault. So no. And that is also the reason cited by the Supreme Court why they didn't take it up.
Oh, okay.
Because you didn't object at the time. That would have been the time to object. So no.
Hmm.
But Sam Alito wanted to make sure that he let everybody know that in his opinion, it's not okay if their hatred of gay people stems from a sincerely held Christian belief.
Oh.
That part's okay. It would be discriminatory not to let them be on the jury.
Oh my God.
He literally said that this episode, quote, exemplifies the danger that he was referencing a thing in a dissent of in his dissent of the court's same-sex marriage case.
Mm-hmm.
He said it exemplifies the danger that Americans who do not hide their adherence to traditional religious beliefs about homosexual conduct will be labeled as bigots and treated as such by the government. And I agree that they will be labeled as bigots and treated, and I hope that they would be treated as such by the government because they're bigots.
Yeah.
It's not to do with their Christianity, Mr. Alito.
Right. You can be a Christian all the live long day, right? Like,
yeah,
go for it. Go do it.
But if like, you're the if you're the brand of Christian that means you hate gay people,
uh-huh.
then you don't get to serve on a jury
where that's an issue.
Where that's a point of order. Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah, there are plenty of juries that you could be on.
Mm-hmm.
Just fine. We're not saying you're not fit for jury service. It's right. just you were inappropriate for that jury.
Right. Because you already hate one of the people that you have to be adjudicating.
Right.
That's wrong. It, like, it's so weird to me that he can't see this.
If they have to have free reign to be their fucking bigoted selves,
right.
or they're being imposed upon.
Right.
And it has to be just perfect carte blanche free reign. Wherever they go, they get to be bigots. Get in my way.
Here's the thing. They do get to be bigots wherever they go, just not on a goddamn jury about that. Every other, like, no one's saying you can't believe that. No one's saying, I mean, some people are saying it, but nobody's saying, like, you're not allowed to. We're going to throw you in jail. Nobody's infringing on your rights.
Yeah.
But yes, you will be labeled a bigot because of your bigotry.
Yeah.
He's just mad because people noticed that he's a bigot and he doesn't like that word. And it feels like people are being mean to him.
Oh, no.
But like if someone's religious beliefs like incited them to any other bigotry that he doesn't personally share, because it's very clear he personally has this point of bigotry.
Right.
So, but if, you know, if someone had a sincerely held Christian belief that, you know, interracial marriage is bad,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the defendants in a case are an interracially married couple, he would see the propriety in excluding that particular juror. He would get it.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. You're right. I'm assuming.
Maybe. You might be giving him some credit, Dan.
I might be. I'm trying to be as fair as I know how to be to that absolute steaming pile of turd.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we have on.
He's a bad one. He's the Sandra Day O'Connor replacement, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's the one that came in at that point.
Well, a worthy replacement he has turned out to be.
Yeah.
Those were some big little shoes to fill, and he managed not to do it.
Yep. Ugh, anyway.
What a dirtbag. Anyway, so just know that Christian nationalism is rearing its ugly head on literally every level of U.S. society. And
as long as the end result is they don't take over, right? That they don't actually get what they want. I think it's really great that they feel comfortable enough right now to expose themselves.
Just say the quiet parts out loud.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think I hate hearing it. It sometimes hurts and it's sometimes pretty awful. And I know it's probably distressing to a lot of people, a lot of our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, hopefully they, you know, after they don't succeed in running this country into the ground and throwing away democracy, We know who they are, and that's going to be a good thing.
That's something. I'm still because considering moving to New Zealand or something. Does anybody have who has a hookup in Australia, New Zealand, some better country?
I've got an Iranian hookup. I've been I've been working for a while.
Yeah.
I think that's probably, things are on the up over in Iran. Yeah. So
I've got it's going to be good. Anyway, we're still scouting spots. Write in and tell us where you think we should go. Or write in and tell us something, what you think is happening in the world. Anything you want. The email address is podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Well, and call us and tell us, you know, what we got right, what we got wrong. We'd love to hear your voice. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Yeah, go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist. Click the like button.
And if you'd like to join one of our members-only lounges, you can do so. Go to our website, thankgodimatheist.com/members-only.
Thanks so much to the Red Rock Hot Club for the use of their music.
And thanks to Gordon Johnston for the use of his fine music.
And thanks to all y'all for tuning in. We sure do appreciate you.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.